Welcome to Talk, a podcast dedicated to creatives breaking into the industry, presented by Brain Freeze. I'm your host, Dana Bulos. On episode 3, we talk with Nabil Elderkin, photographer and director. Nabil, take it away. Introduce yourself.
Well, thank you for saying it correctly. I've been called many things other than Nabil, but I think Arabic background gives it justice. So I'm Nabil, a photographer, director, trying to be creative in as many different ways as possible.
Oh, not even trying. You are.
Well, much appreciated. And I am a friend of yours for several years.
I know, my God. I was just thinking about that the other day. I was like, damn, like we met like so long ago, and it was like through mutual friends. And it's so crazy of just how small LA is when you start to know everybody.
Yes. And many different lifetimes happen in LA, and I'm, you know, we're in a whole new lifetime now, and it's wild, but exciting, and happy to be where I am right now. So
for sure. And how are you dealing with everything that's going on right now?
I'm blessed to say I'm working a lot, but you know, it's been great. It's been a whole new time in my life of reflection, and I've definitely been using it the best I can to really like reflect on myself and become the best version of myself and work on things, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And I know where you're at. It's like such a strange time, and just like reflecting and like thinking of projects you really want to do and just like passion projects and trying to get those up in the air and really like going.
I'm going even deeper than that. Yeah, no, that's, I'm going full deep into like it. You know, I happened to stop drinking before the pandemic. So,
yes,
you know, and that along with it just comes with a lot of lifestyle changes. So, just you know, going straight all the way in. And then, you know, from that, all these creative avenues and ventures are becoming that much more clear. And, you know, in this time of just sitting still too, like,
yeah,
we're in a place of like, really our movements, especially as a creative, have become a lot more centered. And I'd be normally just getting on a plane, going to all these different places and kind of hitting go nonstop, which doesn't give you a place to sit back and reflect. It just go, 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 which has been great. But now it's the time to, you know, use it and slow down and focus on these creative projects. And what do I really want to do with this new world? And what am I saying? Like, if I'm not saying something, what am I doing?
Exactly. I always feel like I want people to feel when they're looking at my work and just be, you know, able to learn from it. And just, again, it's what you're saying of like, what am I trying to say with every project? When it comes to being, you know, stuck out of like your creative mode, are there any things that you do to kind of help you get inspired and help you go into the direction you're trying to make?
Yeah. You know what? I'm blessed that I work a lot with music, because music to me is kind of one of those things that is like an never-ending source of inspiration. And, you know, it taps into our primal vibration, I guess. And I think from that, just listening to music, imagery comes to mind. And that's why I think I've had such a long career in music videos. It's like, you know, someone's giving me the opportunity to create a visual for something that already emotionally affects me. So it's like a perfect, it's almost like an outline. It's not a script, but it's an outline. And then it's a mood board. And then I have to use that mood board and write a short story to go along with it. So music's always like a great avenue, and also getting out. Oh, both. It's like being home more than I've ever been has been interesting. And I think helped me tap into creativity in different ways, but always going to the beach or being out in nature, or just even walking around, meeting people. Like, a lot of my inspiration just comes from life. And I know that sounds like some cliche, like easy answer, but perspective, you know, like just seeing how different people live their lives and interactions. And yeah,
For sure. And when you get a project that comes to you and maybe there's an outline, or maybe the, you know, the talent kind of gives you a full creative perspective, but what are the things that you go into? Like, for example, if someone gave you a project, you listen to the music, you kind of feel it, you see these emotions and all these different visual like examples that are coming out. And when you present it, has there ever been a time where someone was like, I don't like this idea? Or, I don't know what we should do. Has that ever happened?
Never.
All right.
No, totally.
I feel like that happens all the time. Yeah.
I'm like, no, never. Everything I write is amazing.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. It doesn't happen very often. But I think earlier on in my career, I'd get a little more offended. Mm-hmm. But I'm almost in the place where it's like, I'll simplify the idea. I'll just give someone a rough idea just to see, you know what I mean? Like, let's not
for
waste
sure.
time.
Like, let's test. Yeah, I agreed. I totally understand what you're saying. That does help a lot when you simplify, especially for someone who's an as creative, if you're talking to a manager or somebody that, you know, represents the talent, of just kind of explaining it, because not everybody has that artsy or like creative eye where they immediately know what you're referencing. So I totally understand what you mean by that. And so back in the day when you had, you know, those stumbles, yeah, when, you know, you're doing these music videos and just kind of like doing all the crazy ideas, when that happened to you, what were the things that you would say to yourself or like advice that you're getting from other people?
It went two ways. Sometimes I would fight it hard and it was tough. And I think fight it in ways that I probably didn't have to quite, but actually I did, because now I look back at it and I'm proud of the work. But there's been, you know, there was instances too where I like listened, and sometimes that creative meeting ground is better, much better. And sometimes even if it's not better, it gave you time to like look at the work and spend some time with it and then come up with something else. So mm-hmm. I think usually the goal of something like that can only help the process if you try things, as long as it's constructive criticism, as long as, you know, that was also the fine line is like, if someone's giving me ideas or thoughts that can help push it forward, then I'm going to try it. If someone's like, oh, I don't like this, or this shit's whack, whatever, that's just like, that's not how you work with the creative, and that's not how things going to push forward. And I don't know what even to do with that. It's not, mm-hmm. it's not inspiring to make, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. How did you get into, you know, going into directing and photography? Like, tell me a bit about like teenage Nabil.
I wish I need to go back and imagine myself.
Gotta rewind.
Yeah, 17 lives ago. But, you know, I started off in a small town in Austria. Well, I started off in Chicago. And then when I was 3, I moved to Australia and then was living on a little beach town called Port Macquarie. And, you know, I was surfing, hanging out with skaters, shooting that kind of stuff. And I kind of sucked. No, I don't know if I sucked, but I wasn't in the beginning. It's not that I sucked. I was just like standard. Like I was doing everything pretty standard. I was just
trying to fit in kind of with everybody.
Yeah. Like looking at Thrasher Mag or Surf Mags and just kind of emulating, which for sure. I guess you do. And, you know, cause I did also a story I've said before and feels funny every time, is that my last year I did a photography course. Mm-hmm. And I failed.
And some people are not meant for school. It's all good.
I literally failed and I was trying to do some weird ass shit. And I look back on it and what I tried was actually cool. You know, I think they wanted like the Ansel Adams, you know, like perfect landscape portraits or, you know, like shots of things that were standard. And I was actually at that point trying to experiment and do some like sequences.
Yeah.
Weird digital compositions, and they were much cooler than I probably would have done, but I guess the teacher wasn't feeling me going outside the box. And
oh, for sure. I've had that. Yeah. Where teachers don't really understand, or they're like, no, I need you to take a picture of the plant. Like, let's not, anyone else.
And that failed. Yeah. Actually, that helps me fail my equivalent of GED, which mm-hmm. actually kind of pushed my parents from, you know, they were divorced. So to, you know, to move away from my stepmom and dad and move me back to Chicago for a year or two. you know, I look back on it and I remember it being traumatic. You know, I was an ocean kid at that point. And, but then I, you know, moved back to Chicago. I was spending a lot of time in Hawaii, you know, during the winters doing surfing stuff, but I would then go back to Chicago. It was freezing and it was a whole nother life that again, that I was trying to readjust to and find myself. And I found that photography was my output. And like, I, there was a guy named Frank Jakowiak, who was a photography teacher at a community college. And he sold me this Nikon F5 and cool lens. And I remember seeing cool ass shots of him that he would shoot of skaters and other, he was like a Nikon photographer and he shot really cool things. And he did some wild things. And I remember just seeing his stuff and being inspired and then wanting to get in the darkroom and just learn for myself. And I really started shooting the music scene, DJs, bands. And then, you know, at one point that led to meeting Kanye. And
all right. You know, I'm going to ask, can you please tell us the Kanye story?
Yeah.
We all want to hear it. Let's go.
Yeah, God. But, you know, I had seen him and heard some mixtapes. And I was like, man, this guy's amazing. Oh, my God, he's from Chicago. I got to find this guy. So I did everything in my power to try to find him. And Nick Scarron, because I just was like, I want to go shoot him. And I couldn't get in touch with him. And then I went online and, you know, tried to look on his website. And I went to KanyeWest.com and said, you can buy this for $12 or whatever it was at that. And I was like, oh, okay, well, fuck, I'll buy it. Someone else will. So I bought it and still trying to find him, never really heard back. But then I eventually got a call. I don't know how long it was, like a couple of weeks or a month later from a guy, John Bartleson at Rockefeller Records, who was like, yo, we see you on the website. He thought I was like a website squatter or like website buyer. He's like, yeah, you know, we're trying to, you know, we signed this artist. We want to get his website. Da, da, how much do you want? I was like, oh, I don't, to be honest, I just want to shoot photos of him. And he was kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm a photographer. I'm trying to link up with him and take photos. He's like, and okay. So that's all you want? And I was like, yeah. So he literally, I guess, made a phone call to Don C and Kanye. I was like, yo, call this guy. He just wants to shoot you. And I got a phone call and I had a studio on the south side, on the west side of Chicago, on Sacramento and Lake. And I remember telling him where my studio is. He's like, oh shit, okay. And then, yeah, him and Kanye came over. We did a photo shoot. We vibed out. He really liked the photos. He started using those photos. The label started using those photos. And we kind of just started a relationship of working from there. And then I traveled around to 15 years, 20 years later, working with them.
Amazing. I mean, damn, like that's, yeah, it's always like, you got to think outside the box. You like put it out there. You're like, I'm going to do this. And it just kind of happened, you know? Wow. That's such an insane like story to think about, of just how like one simple thing can lead to actually getting your dream come true, you know?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be that much of like a stretch or like wild situation. I was blessed.
Sure.
You know, I'm happy it happened, but you know, it could be just, you know, I get asked a lot about, you know, from young photographers of what to do. I'm like, just really shoot as much as you can. Like try every camera. Don't, you know, I appreciate everyone's shooting film. That's great. And try every kind of film, try every kind of flash, every time a camera, and then just go out and shoot people. Cause like you, once you start finding and developing style, someone's going to see it in this day and age with the Instagram, with the internet, with there's so many avenues of ways that people can find your work and people will find your work. And if your work is good, there'll be a chain reaction. I haven't really come across too many photographers' work that's amazing that I don't see them doing things that I have. And I'm not talking about like photographers that are known, but I've seen just come across randomly, like from someone following me or whatever. And like, wow, this work is amazing. And then you see like they're doing things and they're making moves and you could see the trajectory of their career.
For sure.
And that's happen again and again.
A thing that everybody kind of always asks me is like, is there like a formula to doing what you want to do? I mean, it's so simple. It's just like what you just said. It's just like shoot every day, shoot, experiment, do something different than the usual. But another thing I wanted to ask about is, how do you feel about if anyone starts copying the work or replicating like shoots that you've done maybe back in the day or new? How do you feel about that, like that whole topic?
I've seen it happen. I'm, it's hard for me to say because I'm in a place in my career where I don't think it really affects me too much.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't want to sound so like, you know, like it doesn't mean anything, but like for me, it doesn't bother me as much as I'm sure it bothers other people who, you know, have a very and my style is kind of all over the place. Still, like, that's the thing, is like, I'm still experimenting, trying new things, trying new cameras, trying new lenses and simplifying. It's almost like what I've really learned is I'm simplifying. Like I just finished a photo book that, you know, I'm working on the layouts and all that. And I shot it all with one camera, one lens, one flash, one card.
Love that. So, wow.
Yeah. Like restricting myself now is almost like something that I'm really enjoying. And I'm trying to do that even in the film, like trying to shoot with three lenses maximum, sometimes just one, and simplifying concepts. Everything to me is almost about simplifying. I think if you just do your work and you do a great job at it and you really push it, be proud of what you do. I mean, I can't really speak. I don't even know the heartache that it must feel for some artists because I can't really get into their minds. But I imagine, you know, some people that don't have the platform and don't have the avenues, if they feel like their work has been taken from, I'm sure it's not a good feeling.
So. No, for sure. And how do you feel about representation in terms of like having an agent? A lot of people always ask about that, of just, is it important to have an agent? Should I avoid it? Should I be on that big roster of people or being with an indie like company that's coming up?
I would say definitely try to find a smaller collective of people. I mean, unless you're like a big fish, then you can be on a big roster and you've been doing it for a while. But I would always opt for someone to, you know, representation is good. There's different levels and there's different forms and there's just different ways that people work. So
what are the levels you would say?
You know, like I don't even have a photo agent. I have a directing agent, but I also have people that, you know, I work with to help me with my negotiations with some contracts and stuff. But I'm also in a different position where, you know, work is coming to me. So I don't really need someone out there finding me photo work. But for some people, it's amazing. And, you know, even big photographers, it's great because, you know, they want to do many different things where I'm not that interested in commercial work. I'd rather shoot artists or documentary or, you know, work with things that come into my sphere that just kind of naturally flow. The more the natural, the more I'm seeing that, the happier I am. And the more I'm letting it happen, the happier I am. But I think I'm going to start working with a person. She represents a few different photographers, but I think someone who's going to help me a little bit more with streamlining things. Mm-hmm. I've just been on the never ending quest to actually put up a website and edit my work, which I, for 4 days ago, started after 18 years of procrastination.
So, oh yes.
I'm on a venture now of going through 100 hard drives and putting them down to a few hard drives. And
oh my God, give me that advice. How is the archiving and saving and data? And oh my God, what a nightmare. I can't even look at a hard drive.
Absolute nightmare. But I tell you what, the best thing you can do is go get that 4 terabyte small hard drive and just start going through all those hard drives and really doing an edit of everything and just getting it down to the stuff that you know that you want to see again and putting the other stuff on a I don't care about drive anymore. And
you know, I love that. I don't care drive.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah.
But you know, it's always nice to know that it's there if you ever did want to go back to something, but like get a hard drive that has your essentials. And then after that, now, you know, work with some, I think it's also good to, I need to sit down with somebody and help edit because
for sure.
That's my idea of what's a good photo isn't, you know, exactly what someone else's like. It's so funny. It's like, I feel sometimes out of touch of what is good and bad anymore. Like,
I think we all go through that stage at one point. You just like, you stare at your work for so much and then you start to hate it. And then you have like a fresh eye look at it and they're like, wait, what do you mean? This shot is great. Let's use this. It's interesting that you're saying that you might have like somebody help you with it. Is there a qualification or someone that your works in the industry, or is it like a friend of yours, or who determines that other eye?
It's almost like I see their Instagram and I see how they curate things. And I'm like, oh, they must have a similar sensibility of understanding
taste level for sure.
Yeah, I just want somebody with taste that could say, you know what, and also understand how images can work together. And
for sure.
How story, because I have, you know, when I shoot, I shoot. I don't shoot like four photos. I'm there moving with the person, capturing those off moments. Those off moments are usually my favorite moments.
Mm-hmm.
I need somebody who understands that and who could say, you know, this photo with this photo, you only need these two photos instead of you need those 18 photos that you chose. Like, these two photos say enough.
For sure.
And it's hard for me to decide that. I can sit there with someone and do like a narrow down process, like left, right, pick this, pick, you know what I mean? I feel there's an art form to that too. And that's almost like a photo editor per se.
It really is. Yeah. It's definitely like editing it out and being able to be like, let's narrow it down. Cause I'm the same thing where it's just like, I have so many where I'm like, I can't edit this down. This is too hard. And it's easier to sit down with an editor and just.
Yeah, and we do it with film. Like that's what I do with the film. I work with an editor and I do the exact same thing. So why shouldn't I? Do that
with a photo, right? Yeah, I never, yeah, that's so true. Actually, I never thought about it that way, of just video and video and photos. It's a whole, it's similar and then very different in the sense, but it's nice to pick up those things that you learned throughout those too. And I wanted to talk about feature films and your project Gully. Just tell us a little bit about your last film. And if you're working on anything up and coming, if there's anything.
Yeah, I have a film.
Let's go.
I mean, it's coming out. So that's exciting. It's Paramount's putting out, which is a blessing.
Yes.
I've been waiting forever for this to kind of help me move on in my life. I've been working on the soundtrack for the last year, pretty much, with, you know, and hoping that all finishes coming together. But I'm scared shitless. It's a very polarizing film. Yeah, I mean, it becomes more and more, I feel like the timing is right for it to come out. I think maybe a couple of years ago when it first, a year and a half ago when it first premiered at Tribeca, probably wasn't the right time for it to come out. I feel it's crazy how the world works and how
I know,
like things can become more and more fitting. So, you know, it talks a lot about society and I think the voice of some people that don't have the same voice that some others have. So I'm hoping it resonates. It's not for everyone. I feel that I definitely went for it. I didn't keep it tame so that it would be likable by all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say too much about it, but you know.
Well, we're excited. I can't wait till that trailer drops.
Some people highly disliked it. And then, you know, GQ put it as one of the best films of the year, even though no one's seen it yet.
I can't wait to see it. Well, and how did the project come about? I had read that the writer just saw you in a hotel and gave you a script. Is that true?
A producer did. Yeah.
Okay. And, there we go. The producer.
A producer did and said he was trying to get it to me. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. And then, you know. At the time, I was hungover the next day, so I was chilling in bed, and I read it, and I really resonated with it, and I was like, holy shit, I have to make this. You know, I went on the four-year journey, at least, to try to get it made and, you know, let nothing else get in my way, and it's crazy how perseverance can really, like, you just set your mind to something, but there was so many times along the way that it was just not going to happen. I had a great... some great people around me to help me. And the writer, Marcus, you know, wrote something really powerful. And I worked to make it something that reflected something I knew more of. And we got it done.
How long did it take to make?
Fuck. I mean, shoot days was only 21 days, but it took a lifetime. It took a lot. you know, I'm still finishing. I've still been working on the music. You know, the edit's been locked for, you know, over a year, but just, you know, finagling on the music while we get ready to put it out to the last second. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Like, yeah, getting a movie made that you're, you know, an independent movie is not easy. It's really not easy.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I'm grateful. You know, I'm super grateful how everything panned out. It was the toughest experience I've ever been through, and I'm finishing going through. And it happened in a time in my life where I feel I was going through a lot of tough times and self, you know, reflection. So it kind of mirrored, but I feel that it was also one of those mirrors that helped me understand what I needed to do. And it really was a life, you know, lesson, like the whole process of working with people and how to and how not to work with people and what I really wanted to say. And one day I'll explain it all.
We can't wait until it comes out. I'm just manifesting and crossing my fingers. It'll come out in a few months. So I'm excited for that.
I didn't even get to talk about your stuff, but I guess.
Oh my God. Oh no. This show isn't about me. This is about you. I'm trying to get just, you know, having people who are listening just to give them some advice and to realize that most of the creatives that are, you know, that are friends of mine are in this industry deal with the same struggles that everybody does. It's not an easy industry to get into, but it is an industry that we love to think outside the box and how to make that no into an actual yes.
Yeah, and figuring out a way. I think the more I want other artists that maybe want some kind of knowledge is like, find your voice and do it your way and try to really push, you know, obviously be open to other thoughts and opinions and take them into account, but really like listen true to what is about you, because it really did a lot for me to kind of find my own path and do things my way.
Well, Nabil, this was amazing. Thank you so very much for being on Talk.
Talk is presented by Brain Freeze, hosted by Dana Buos, produced by Vera Iwanoff and Indigo Media, edited by Sam Sobo, and music by Max Dondino Ferrer. See you next week for the next episode of Talk.